two, not kind of, but week two of a series on spiritual gifts. And if you're here, I've never done this before, or if you're listening online, I know some people sometimes listen to the sermons online. If you're listening online, go back and listen to last week as we, you know, when we talked about our starting points and all of the sheets that we use to fill in and determine our starting points and how one, some of the ways that God has wired us up that are going to be put online as well, so you can find them there. But I'm going to need a little bit of help this morning. If you have your Bibles, just make them a little bit conspicuous, because, okay, thank you. Jason, could you look up Romans 12, 4 through 8? Shelby, could you look up 1 Corinthians 12, 17 through 20? Ben, could you please look up Ephesians 4, verse 12? Jake, could you look up 1 Peter 4, 10? Drew, could you please look up 1 Corinthians 12, 21 through 23? So last week we talked about starting points, one of the verses, and we looked at, you know, starting points in terms of how God has created us body, soul, and spirit, that reflects the Trinity or triunity of God, how we tend to lean one way or another when it comes to the different aspects of God, towards the wisdom, commitment, power, as we experience God. One of the verses we looked at was Colossians 1, 9 to 11. For this reason, since this day, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. And we talked about how different aspects of this verse talk about how growing in the knowledge or the wisdom of God, living a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing to him as we aspect in growing in the might and power of the Lord, as we talked about his power. And again, if you have a chance, please go back and listen to last week. But we talked about those three different areas of wisdom and power and commitment, how those come into play in our life. The red area, the circle there, commitment. Talking about service, obedience. That as we look at Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, and how that's reflected in our commitment to Christ and to the Great Commission. And then the blue area representing the power of the Holy Spirit, that we don't just labor on our own strength, but we labor in the power of the Lord. And when we don't do that, we're really rather ineffective. And so we talked about the verses of God giving us power through his Holy Spirit, because otherwise we don't have fruit in our ministry. And then also in the green area of wisdom, we talk about creation. You know, you might have commitment and power, but it needs to be pointed in the right direction. It's practical. It's applying knowledge to real-life situations. And of course, you can fall in the pit of, you know, leaning on our own understanding sometimes as well, thinking we're too smart for our own good. And then we kind of identified our starting points, not necessarily our character, not necessarily our personality, but our starting points, things that can change, things that can be, you know, changed with maturity and spiritual growth over time. And so we talked about, you know, we looked at six big biblical characters. I'm primarily a Mary, who would be in the blue area, focused on God's power. Or primarily a Martha, you know, just in the red area, with strong commitment. Primarily Thomas, who was always asking those probing questions and wanting to know more of the green area. Or maybe a combination. You know, am I a mix of two? Am I like the red and green together, like a Moses, strong living commitment? Or am I a, give me the other one.
Peter.
Thank you, Peter. Strong in the blue and the red area, the power and commitment, but not always wisdom. Or a Jonah, strong in the power and wisdom area. And so we had that sheet which kind of gave a diagnosis and some ideas how to improve on your weak areas. I did have a couple extras of those if you didn't get it last week, they're back in the information table. But again, if you didn't, we're going to have those online for you as well. Because it's good to see where it is that we start. Where is your starting point? And then where there's a diagnostic thing that talked about, where do you go from there? In fact, if you can see this picture, all these people kind of moving towards their goal. The question is, are these people moving in the same direction? Who thinks they're moving in the same direction? Who thinks they're moving in different directions? Okay? Who thinks they're moving in the same direction? Okay. Well, you're both right. Alright? You know, there's different starting points. So some are moving from right to left, some are moving from left to right, but they're all moving towards the center. All moving towards the center, and as we talk about having God's wisdom and power and commitment, you know, as we move towards the center to strengthen each area in our walk. Anybody here would share their starting point from last week? Let me just ask if you did it. Do we have any Mary? Yes? Martha? Okay, it's you. Thomas? Do you have a question?
No.
I just figured it was Thomas. How about Moses? It's the Mosai. Okay. And Peter? Peter? And Jonas? Black? A couple people. Oh, you raised your hand twice.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. I know there was a couple people that came up to me and said that they were Jonas also. But, you know, we want to now kind of start combine the starting points, which tends to really focus on our weaknesses, you know, the areas that we need to strengthen. I mean, there's some strength, but also the areas we need to weaken and to strengthen as we go towards the center. But we're going to combine the starting points, which kind of tends to focus on our weaknesses, with spiritual gifts, which focuses on our strengths. So that's what we're going to talk about more today. And then, first of all, that everybody, all Christians, are gifted. All Christians have a spiritual gift, so at least one spiritual gift. There's a recent survey done that 80% of Christians didn't know what their spiritual gifts were. So if you're from that category, you got a lot of company. It's kind of a blood type, you know. Everybody has one. You just got to discover what it is. For me, my spiritual gifts and my blood type actually match. One of my spiritual gifts is encouragement, and my blood type is B positive. So there you go. You go together. Yeah, my blood. All right. But if you don't know what your gifts are, it's just because you've never discovered them. The book, and we're kind of studying out of, I'm teaching out of, this Three Colors of Ministry. The book's definition of spiritual gift is, a spiritual gift is a special ability that God gives, according to his grace, to each member of the body of Christ to be used for the development of the church. So we're going to break this down just a little bit. Okay, it's a special ability. You know, every Christian has a different gift mix. When you find out your gift mix, that's going to put you in the minority. You know, that God has chosen to give you those gifts. We don't expect one gift to be possessed by a majority of Christians, just like a human body is made up of different parts and members and organs. God has created us in unique ways. And church is made up of a variety of Christians, each of which has its own special function, just like the members and organs of a body. It's a special ability that God gives. You know what? Before we go there. Okay. Before we go there, let's just drive home that the part about the special ability. They each have their own special function. Let's read Romans 12, 4 through 8.
Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully.
Okay, and then also 1 Corinthians 12, 17 through 20.
If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body.
Okay, and so which function that each member of the body is to fulfill is determined for the most part by his or her spiritual gifts. So, the spiritual gift is a special ability, and that God gives. Now, I know some people believe more sort of in, there's a lot of different schools of thought on this, like creation gifts, where it doesn't really involve anything supernatural, and they tend towards the green part of the circle. Or some of it to be more towards the red part, you know, or I'm sorry, the blue part, where it's only things that are supernatural, you know, that are the real gifts. Others focus on the gifts that have direct application to the Great Commission, which would be more in the red section. But whether we encounter the Creator, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, we, you know, we're always meeting with the same God. And we can be sure that we're using the gifts according to His will, if we use them to His glory and for the benefit of others. So it's that God gives, and then according to His grace, grace is like unmerited favor, right? Justice is when we get what we deserve, mercy is when we don't get what we deserve, and grace is when we get what we don't deserve. This is not something that's earned. It's not a reward, you know, for good behavior. It's for good character or spiritual maturity. He gives them by His grace. Jason was just reading that in Romans 12:6. And this is why we have to care about the spiritual walk of every believer. Because there would be a believer here with us that you know, they have a spiritual gift that we need as a body, and we want them to grow up to maturity to be able to use that gift. So it's important for everybody to know what their spiritual gift is. And also, spiritual gifts are not to be confused with the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are things that we're all called to. But spiritual gifts are something that we were given selectively. It's given to each member of the body of Christ, right? And that's just everybody has at least one spiritual gift. Everybody does. And then we use for the development of the church. All the major statements in the New Testament relating to spiritual gifts are in the context of the body of Christ and its growth. So spiritual gifts are not just for the growth of individual believers, but their primary purpose is to benefit others. In fact, let's read Ephesians 4:12.
To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up.
Okay, so we get given these gifts to equip people for works of service, the body can be built up. 1 Peter 4:10.
Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms.
Okay, so we're using our gifts to serve others. So if you kind of withdraw from Christian fellowship, you can't use your gifts as God intended. Any reflection or study of spiritual gifts always happens in correlation with church development. And as we discover our spiritual gifts, we also help discover God's calling on our life. God doesn't call you to a responsibility or a task where He hasn't endowed you with a gift or a corresponding gift. And to say that differently, if you discover your gifts, then you'll know which areas of ministry that God's calling on. Now, on the flip side, if you discover you have a particular gift and you don't use it, well, then you might not be living up to your calling. So, if you'd like to know whether God has called you into like a counseling ministry, well, you find out whether you have the corresponding gift. And I think this process is great. And because it's awesome to see how God has blessed different Christians with such a variety of gifts. And none of us has a reason to be proud of our individual giftedness, because each one of us depends on the gifts of others to complement our own gifts. In fact, the Bible says it really well in 1 Corinthians 12, 21 through 23.
I cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor.
Okay. So at the same time, there's no reason to be jealous of the gifts of others, because God is only going to hold us accountable for the gifts that he's actually given to us, like the story of the talents, where somebody's given a certain amount of talents or bags of gold, and they're responsible for what they've been given. And actually can be free to figure out the gifts that we don't have. Sometimes you feel guilty, like, well, I'm not contributing in the way that this person is contributing, and then you feel guilty about it. You know, there are areas where we don't need to make a focus for ministry. I know when you see a person with the gift of health, their level of commitment can make you feel almost guilty. Well, just as those that have the gift of health shouldn't be guilty if they don't have the gift of counseling. And also another point is mistakes are allowed. By that I mean, even though I have the gift, I believe, of prophecy or preaching and teaching, it doesn't mean that I see myself as an exceptionally gifted teacher. I know some Christians who God has gifted to a far higher degree. Ray Vanderlaan, there's lots of them. Far more gifted than me. However, it doesn't change the fact that God has gifted me in an area and he expects me to exercise this gift. I also realize that there's going to be times when I'm inadequately prepared, or if I'm impatient, or I'm lacking focus, or I just haven't had enough sleep. Just because I'm practicing my spiritual gifts doesn't mean everything is going to turn out perfectly. So, mistakes are allowed, as we're using our gifts, but it's important to understand the same gift can occur in different variations and different degrees. Like, for example, one person may be particularly gifted in applying the gift of evangelism. And the same person, another person may have the same gift, they're able to use it in personal conversation. Another person might be most effective utilizing that gift writing evangelistic tracts. Another person might demonstrate the gift of evangelism working with children. There's all different variations of the same gift. Not everybody with a gift of evangelism has to use it in the same way as Billy Graham. So once you discover a spiritual gift, you can also pretty much assume that God has given that to you for your lifetime. When Paul gave the gift of missionary, he didn't have to question at one point if the gift of missionary would be taken away. He knew that it was for the full extent of his lifetime. The New Testament repeatedly talks about spiritual gifts as being part of the body of Christ. It's not like the hand has to worry about waking up tomorrow and being an eye, or waking up the next day and being a liver. These are things that God has given us for a life. Now, we talked about last week about our starting point. Those things can change with the spiritual maturity and growth, as we work on areas where we're weak. But our spiritual gifts are something that is going to be with us for a long time. And that's good news, because it can help you kind of plan your ministry and know how God has gifted you. Since the Holy Spirit gives his gifts to us for permanent use, we can plan our lives based on the discovery of our gifts and use it for the benefit of others and do it for the development of the church. Now, I want to stop here and say that there is a difference between a spiritual gift and what we call a universal responsibility. A spiritual gift and a universal Christian responsibility. Universal Christian responsibilities apply to all Christians, whether or not they might be gifted in those areas. Like a person may not have the gift of evangelism, but we're still all required and still all expected to share our faith. Christians, regardless of whether or not they might be gifted in a certain area, the application of a spiritual gift isn't expected from every Christian, but universal Christian responsibilities are expected to be practiced by all Christians. Not every Christian has the gift of giving. That's a spiritual gift. But a person putting a portion of a person's income at the Lord's disposal does apply to every Christian. You don't need to have the gift of giving in order to tithe. Not every Christian has the gift of faith, but every Christian does have a universal responsibility of trusting Christ during life's dilemmas. And the distinction between spiritual gifts and universal Christian responsibilities also helps us overcome and prevents us from expecting what, not expecting what only can be expected of somebody that has a corresponding spiritual gift. For example, Christians who do have the gift of evangelism can tend to expect other Christians to have the same kind of evangelistic involvement that's normal for them. That's not good. Because there's a difference between that universal responsibility and a gifting. Now, at the same time, if you don't have the gift of evangelism, we're not excused from the responsibility of sharing our faith with others. So it goes both ways with all kinds of gifts. Not all of us have the gift of mercy, but we're all to show compassion. We don't all have the gift of helps, but we're all called to serve. Some have the gift of prayer, but we're all called to pray. We don't all have the gift of organization. We're all called to live well-ordered lives. And it goes on and on down the line. So the distinction there between a spiritual gift and what is a universal Christian responsibility. And the big point of discussion is, well, how many spiritual gifts are there? And you can ask as many people as you're going to ask, that's how many answers you're going to get. You're going to go get answers everywhere from 8 to 100, just depending on where you look or where you go. Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians, which we've already read, along with Ephesians 4, are the three major gift list areas in the New Testament. And there might even be gifts that are not mentioned in the spiritual gifts in the Bible. For example, in the New Testament, nowhere explicitly talks about the gift of prayer, that being a spiritual gift. Yet there's no doubt that there are certain Christians whose God has blessed with unique power in prayer. Anybody who joyfully prays for 2 or 3 hours a day, day after day, and experiences extraordinary answers to prayer has most likely been endowed with the spiritual gift of prayer. And all of you know people that, when you're really in trouble, you know who you're calling to ask to pray for you. So now it comes down to this, in a way. It's a tool. It's not a God. It's a spiritual gift test. And, there's a lot of different tests. In fact, there's even one in the book here that we're not going to use, because we were endowed with a spiritual gift of money coming out of our pockets. Because to use this, you have to buy a book just to use the test in the three-color ministry. In fact, I was copying it off, or starting to, and realized I cut off the bottom of the page. I'm like, oh, what am I cutting off? And I realized that cutting off where it says photocopying, not allowed. And so, I probably shouldn't do that then. And so contacted the natural church development people and, tried to see if we get the rights to just do that part on our own. And they did not have a spiritual gift of saying yes at that point. And so, but they did have, the same organization had this separate spiritual gift test called the Heights Spiritual Gift Survey, which some of the terminology would be a little different, but the concept is the same. Myself and Tabitha Cox both took the gift test in here, and this gift test and our spiritual gift mixes came out the same. So just to let you know, we're going to be using this spiritual gift test. In fact, Isaiah, could you help me out with passing these out? People. In fact, Ben, since you mentioned him, here, if you do that. Okay, so let's have everybody take one of those. This is not something you're going to do now. This is homework. This is, it'll take a little bit of time. It's about 145 questions on there. It's very self-explanatory. It's basically, multiple choice tests, reflects your thoughts, your feelings, your experiences in here. When Number two, when opportunity arises, I seek friendships with those who are culturally and ethnically different from me. Do I do that frequently, sometimes, seldom, or never? And then you'll see how, so when all the questions and all the scores are added up, it relates to different spiritual gifts. There's also a portion on here at the end of the test that you need to see that that you give to a friend. You give to somebody who knows you real well. Page 12 says, here's what I think of you. So you give it to a friend, and they can kind of, you know, sometimes a friend, somebody who knows you well, and especially in a spiritual sense, can kind of identify the things that they confirm or see in your life as far as spiritual gifting. I know that can kind of be a little bit daunting to hand that to somebody else, but I think when you know somebody else is going to be looking over what you've written, you know, you're going to be more sober in your judgment. Just to let you know, it can be painful. I had, there was a similar type of thing in the Three Colors of Ministry test, and I gave it to Aime to fill out. And I really didn't look at her responses, I was just kind of writing down the answers, and noticed there was like a zero, my one of them. So I was like, oh, I wonder what she gave a zero on. And it was, I can very well, in some circumstances, partly, or not at all, imagine that Cal has a special assignment to serve God in some musical capacity. And it was not at all, it was a zero. And I said, you know, I mean, whatever, you know, the score, but I do kind of serve in the worship team, and I was, you know, remember the band I had, and, you know, I played the piano and different things, and she said, oh, yeah, that's right, yeah, I guess I was just thinking about singing. It's like, oh, man, oh, right in the middle of the back. So it might be a little bit painful, you might get rubbed up a little bit when you hand this out to somebody else and say, be honest, but, you know, we want people to be honest and so it'll be accurate. So it might be a little painful, but better to get honest feedback, which is going to be accurate feedback. And then, if you could give me some feedback, I would love, when you get finished with this, hopefully you're able to do this week, and it, once you get page 14, it'll kind of show you how to score up and look at which ones are at the top of your spiritual gift mix. When you identify, you get down to those four on page 14. I would love for you to email those to me to let me know. I want to compile those and look at how do we look as a church body when it comes to you know, are we more tilted towards the gifts that fall in the red commitment area, or the, you know, green wisdom area, or the blue power area, and how has God gifted us not only individually, but as a church body, and to just see how cool it is, you know, just like our bodies are put together, that God has gifted each of us in ways to contribute to others and to the building up and development of the church. Okay, let's so take those home with you and fill those out, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for each person here. God, that I know each person is a vital part of your body. Just as each organ, each member of our own body is so important. None more important than the other. God, I just pray for this week as people, maybe for the first time, or maybe a confirmation of what they found out before from another test or what somebody has told them, or your Holy Spirit just working through and showing them through experience how you have gifted each person and what an important and valuable gifting that is. God, that we may come together to more efficiently work as a body, and to better represent you to our families, to our community, to our world. Pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.